Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday, live at Nash Dogs in Old Hickory, 1427 Robinson Road. It's Old Hickory Boulevard, right next to the Piggly Wiggly. It is National Hot Dog Day, and the hot dogs are fantastic. He is Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier. I'm Chase McKay. Brandon Bigsby back at the studio, and we say hello now to our very own, our favorite wide receiver, Derek Mason, who joins us now, part of DVD weekdays 3 to 6 here at 102.5 The Game. What up, D-Mace?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
We are doing fantastic. Just wanted, you know, I needed to pick the brain of a wide receiver. I like to do that every now and then. You guys have discussed the quarterback documentary, and one thing that I have brought up was it was pretty apparent to me early on that the vibe between Callahan and Cam Ward was not there. Now, I think that Brian Daboll is a more accomplished and probably a more confident type of coach, that he's going to tell Cam, hey, this is how this is going to work, and therefore I think Cam is going to be more successful if he listens to him. But would you agree with that, and did you get that same vibe in watching the doc?
Because we talked about it yesterday, Chase, and Nick on our show, DVD. And if you just look at the clips, one would think that, hey, something's going on with their relationship, or how can a, you know, quarterback overrule, a rookie quarterback overrule your coordinator slash head coach. But we got to take everything in context. I don't think they showed the whole interaction between those two. I came away with the assumption that maybe Callahan offered up a few plays, and Cam came back to him and said, hey, this is the play I want. You know, this is the play I like. Let's run it. And they went out and ran it because they never showed anything after that. After Cam said what he said, they just went straight to the huddle and to the line of scrimmage. That's how they cut the film up. So I'm not sure if their relationship was vibing. I just think that, one, Netflix didn't do the head coach any favors, and it frankly didn't do Cam any favors, because this was the talk last year. Are they allowing Cam too much leeway as a rookie quarterback? And if you look at the clip, one would tend to believe, yeah, they were giving him too much leeway. But I think it's more nuanced than that. You know, I think their relationship was okay. Now, listen, he got fired, so obviously something wasn't working. But I think he gave Cam Ward the ability to, you know, make some changes if he want to. Now, we may all agree that, you know, hey, you got to kind of rein it in on a rookie quarterback and not let him make so many decisions. But we were not in those locker rooms. We're not in those meetings. We don't know how fast Cam Ward has learned that offense and what he showed. He probably showed the ability and the trust of your offensive coordinator slash head coach that he can do that every so often. But it just made it look bad, because on that same play, what Cam said he wasn't going to do, he ended up doing it and taking the sack. So it made it seem like, you know, Cam overruled the coordinator slash head coach, and that play turned out ultimately into a negative play. I think it's more nuanced than that. But I think they had a good relationship. But listen, if it's not working, then change is going to be made, and they felt it wasn't working, and they made the change.
Derek Mason is with us. What can these receivers do in this offense? Like, if you're a veteran, if you're on this team, you're a veteran receiver, you see an offensive coordinator coming in that has had success, he's worked with some really good quarterbacks, it's been good for receivers. So what can a receiver do in this offense to make life easier for Cam?
No, the offense, just like Cam knows it, at least from the past, from a past standpoint, there shouldn't be a time that you go out there, especially as a veteran wide receiver, if you're talking about Wandale Robinson, Calvin Ridley. Now, the other two guys, they're second-year guys, so to me, they're not veteran guys. They, you know, they're still coming up in this league. But when you're talking about those two guys in particular, you have to make sure you know the offense just as good or even better from a pass standpoint than a quarterback, because you never want to get in a situation where the quarterback drops back and he's thinking, what in the hell is he doing? You know, especially as a veteran guy, that is a no-no when it comes to rookie quarterbacks. So just make sure you know the offense and be – and Heimerdinger would tell me all the time, listen, just be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there, and we'll get the ball to you. If not, if you're not where you're supposed to be, I can't get the ball to you. And that messes up the quarterback. So be where you're supposed to be and catch the football. Those are only two things that really matters.
Absolutely. Derek Mason, host of DVD, is on the line with this. D-Mace, when it comes to the, I guess, veteran leadership, like you were just alluding to, there are a lot of young players in this wide receiver room and just passing game in general. When you came into the league in 97, obviously you had some veterans around you that kind of helped shape your career. But when the family came involved with having kids and so forth, how much of that really helped shape you as a true wide receiver? Because you have these wide receivers now on this team, like you said, they're 1 to 2 year guys that all they have to really revolve around is football. How much of the family aspect of it really helped shape you as a wide receiver to mature you throughout your career?
I think it allows you to learn more responsibility because as you start to get a family, it's not just about you. It's about you and your family and your team. So you have to find a way to, divvy up your time. And your family has to understand majority of your time is going to go towards football. But when you're in the house and you're around, you have to be present. So I think that helps out. And when you have a family, I think it majority of the guys, it grounds majority of the guys when they have a family because they understand they're fighting and they're playing for something greater than themselves and their team. They're playing for their family. So I think, for me at least, that allowed me to, stay grounded, stay humble and go to work each and every day with intentions on getting better because I knew that, a lot of people, were dependent on me, or at least my family was dependent on me to go out there and be the best player that I can be. But as far as the locker room, I mean, when I came in 97, unfortunately, listen, I loved those guys that were there, the older guys, Willie Davis and Derek Russell and guys like that. But when we came in, there was not much help. It was like, hey, listen, we're all fighting for a position and you got to figure it out. And, and we were able to do it myself, Joey Kent, Kevin Dyson, Eisenberg. We were able to, figure it out, so to speak. So they were a help to a certain extent, but they had to worry about their jobs too. And as you become a veteran guy, you understand that. But you also got to know that, listen, we're not going to get better unless, as a veteran guy, you make sure you're doing what you're supposed to do for those younger guys and set an example. And I'm not saying that those older guys didn't set a good example as far as how you go out and prepare. They did. But when you're talking about helping and being someone that I can look up to, a mentor, unfortunately, my first year, we didn't have that. So we had to sort of figure it out on our own.
Well, is Carnell Tate going to be kind of faced with that? Because even with your second year guys, they're going to look at him like, oh man, he's the fourth overall pick. He's going to take my job. They're going to expect him to be the number one receiver. And then you got guys like Calvin Ridley that's just trying to stay in the league. So is he going to face some of that?
I don't think so. I think Calvin has shown the ability to, hey, listen, no matter who's out there playing, we're all trying to accomplish one thing, and that's to go out there and be the best position on the field and to help our team, win a ball game. So I don't think anything that Calvin Ridley has displayed since he's been here tells me that he's going to turn his back on those young guys. What I've seen is a guy that is pouring into those young guys, a guy that is there for those young guys. Yes, he's going to compete. He understands that, listen, I got to go out there each and every day to compete. But he also understands that if I don't help these guys and mentor these guys and answer questions if they have them, then we're not going to get better as a team. So nothing that I've seen with Calvin Ridley shows me that he's going to be one of those guys that sort of shuns the younger guys or turn his back on the younger guys. But when you're talking about Elik and DK, I mean, they're going to help as much as possible. You got to understand, they're learning the new offense too. So just like Carnell Tate, just like, some other guys, they're learning the offense too. But I'm sure if Carnell Tate goes to Elik or DK, because of what they experienced with Ridley last year, they're going to be willing to help.
D-Mace, what you mentioned just a second ago when I asked you about staying grounded, for you with the family aspect of it. So for these young first, second-year wide receivers, how can they stay grounded early on in their career? Is it just to be at the facility 24/7, or is it just to find a hobby? How do they stay grounded with this career they have now?
Knowing that it could be gone in a day, and that's what it's really about. Don't take advantage of the opportunities that you get, but when you get those opportunities, don't take advantage of the people around you. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Be there when people need you to be there. Do the things that either someone did for you or you wish someone did for, someone did for you. So that's one thing that helped me stay grounded, just walking into that building every day, knowing it was a blessing. I loved the sport. And I was there to not only, be successful for the team, but I was there to be successful for my family. And, for me, when I came home, it wasn't, Derek Mason, the football player. It was Derek or Dad. That was it. And very seldom we talk about football other than the ride back home. After that, we didn't talk about it no more, because once I get home, it's not about football. Yes, I had to study and I did when I got home, my playbook, but majority of the time spent home was spent with my family and not trying to, go through the playbook or my life was surrounded or revolved around football once I got home. It wasn't. Majority of it was surrounded by my family. And, that worked best for me. Now, for other people, it may be different. But what worked best for me was to do the work that I was paid to do when I was on the football field, took the work home, studied some more, but made sure I give my time to my family that they deserved.
He is Derek Mason. He's a part of DVD. You can hear him 3 to 6 with Adam Vingan and Willie Donick. D-Mace, thanks for doing a little extra today. We appreciate it, and we'll be listening at 3.
No problem, fellas. Y'all know it.
All right. See ya. D-Mace.
See you, D-Mace.
DVD. Come